We are here to praise and worship our God together. Amen? And God is with us to receive our lives again in this worship service. And we are ready for that. Amen. Amen. So we have a special announcement about Kids Hope. So Hillary?
Good morning. I'm happy to announce that Kids Hope has launched at Midland First. One mentor is starting tomorrow. One prayer partner has already invested the 1 hour to train. My worry is me. If you volunteered to be a mentor or prayer partner and have not received an email from Kids Hope USA, please let me know. It is probably a function of my tech skills or my memory. Please help me out. New volunteers, there are signups on my office window. And Lord, we commit this mission to you and to your glory.
Hello, if you do not know me yet, my name is Tyler Morse. I'm the new choir director here. Yes, thank you. I just wanted to put out an invitation for anyone that maybe wasn't on the email list for it. Next Sunday, we are having a one-off women's choir performing for us. And we have a rehearsal today at 1 o'clock. If anyone would like to attend that, rehearse, see if it's for you, who knows? And please, if you do come, we encourage you to bring a friend. So that's today, 1 o'clock, women's choir. In the choir room just up there. Yep, okay.
Thank you, Tyler. And as you might know, we are going to have a new person at the church who will be in charge of HR and also administration. Her name is Lindsay Yak. So please stop by church office sometime this week and share your names with her and just welcome her with a wonderful smile, okay? Can you do that? Yes, and she's in a really important position at our church. So I think we got the right one for the position. I really appreciate the effort our HR team has done for that. And here is a really important announcement about our Lenten season special Bible study and fellowship time.
Hello, Midland First. As you may have heard, we are going to begin a Lenten study on the book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. This book covers 5 purposes for our life and centers around worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and mission. During our Lenten study, which will begin the second Wednesday of Lent, we will get together for dinner, worship, and small group study time. And we will have the opportunity not only to fellowship, but to learn how we can grow as individuals and as God's family, the body of Christ. Because as Rick Warren writes, we were planned for God's pleasure, formed for God's family. We were created to become like Christ, shaped for serving God, and made for a mission. And what a gift it is to do that together.
Yeah. During the Lenten season, we're going to start our Lenten season with Ash Wednesday, which falls on February 14th. And starting February 21st, for 6 weeks, every Sunday afternoon, starting at 5 o'clock, we're going to get together for meal and worship and also Bible study together. So it is not just for our church members. You can invite your friends and neighbors to this special event. If you don't want to join the Bible study, I just want to have a meal with our church family. You are okay to do that, but we will see, okay? So invite your family members, extended family members, neighbors and friends for this, you know, special time of fellowship, worship, and study. The copies of the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, are available right now. You can pick one of the books, you know, on the information desk we have over there, okay? Please remember this special event, and we can experience God's blessing together during this Lenten season. Can you say amen to that? Amen, amen. Please stand up and let us have time to greet one another, okay?
Please remain standing for the call to worship as you are able. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come on, Jesus. May God give us the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge.
Fill us with all the fullness of who you are.
By the power of the Holy Spirit, may our love overflow with knowledge and full insight of how much God loves us, so that in the day of Christ we may be pure and blameless. Produce in us the harvest of righteousness, Jesus, for the glory and praise of God. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you. If the children could come forward, please. We have one student getting a Bible today. Edison, if you want to go up to the top platform. And kids, if you could follow me.
Edison, I'm so excited for you to get this Bible today. And you'll find that it is wrapped in several layers of paper, which is significant because of what the Bible means to us. So as you unwrap, I'll explain a little bit about the layers. The brown wrapping reminds us that the Bible is a really old book, and that it began as stories that were told across generations. And so, before people could even read and write, they were telling the stories of Jesus. And so you can go ahead and unwrap the brown paper. You can rip it, it's okay. The comic book layer. The comic book layer reminds us that this book, the Bible, is full of some of the best stories in the world. And they're all true stories. They're important stories that we keep coming back to, just like our favorite comics that we always remember. You can go ahead and unwrap that. Yeah, we have trash bags, so you can feel free to just go for it if you want to. All right. The gold wrapping paper symbolizes how valuable the Bible is because it contains truth and the Word of God. This is the truth that we keep coming back to and guides us as we live our lives because it tells us about who God is and how He wants us to live for Him. You can go ahead and unwrap it. The last layer is white tissue paper because it reminds us that this book, the Bible, is inspired by God. And it is unlike any other book that we'll ever own because it is the Word of God. And as the book of Hebrews tells us, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so you can know that it is trustworthy and good. And you can go ahead and unwrap it. It's got your name on the inside as well. So that. You're welcome. Thank you.
Let us pray together. Dear most gracious God, we give thanks to you for being our Redeemer and sustainer of our lives. We give our lives to you in this worship service as living sacrifices. We are so grateful for your presence in our lives, even though there are times we do not realize it. God, you have called us to be a house of prayer for all nations. We pray that your spirit of peace will be with the people in Ukraine, Russia, Israel, Palestine, Syria, Iran, Pakistan, Myanmar, and many other places where the conflicts have heightened. Heal their wounds and restore their lives and help them find your presence in the midst of wars. We remember our denomination, the United Methodist Church, in our prayers. God, remember us and renew us with your spirit. Let us walk closely with you so that we can be your means of grace to the people in our neighborhood and the world. Give Bishop Bard wisdom and a compassionate heart as he is leading our conference. Allow his cabinet members to have discernment from you so that they can appoint the right pastors to the right places in this season. God, we remember our church members who are under hospice care and those who have lost their loved ones recently. Reveal your grace to them and comfort them. Help them find your presence during these challenging times. Heal those who are suffering in our congregation. Strengthen their and their family members' faith so that they can find your shalom at this time. Now we pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. About the Lenten season church-wide Bible study, you can find more information from our eBless message every week, and then you can find a way how you can register for that Bible study from there. And also, we have a paper, a sign-up paper available for you at the back, at the parlor area, so that you can put your name there, so that you can register for that, you know, Bible study. Please do that, you know, after our service today. And we really appreciate your continued support for the missions we have at our church. And as I shared with you, my prayer for our church is, God, help us to be more missional. And I think, you know, we have strived to be faithful God's servant, to participate in God's mission together. So I hope that kind of things can happen continually this year, with your prayer, and also with your presence, and also with your offerings. With that kind of heart, let us give our lives to our God in our offering. Ushers, would you please come forward?
Is the dark.
lives.
Dear God, we are so much blessed and we are so much grateful about what you are doing in our lives. God, everything we have is from you and we belong to you and we are yours. God, please use us freely only for your kingdom and also use these offerings from us only for your glory. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture reading this morning is coming from two places. First, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and heights and depths, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what really matters, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together again. Dear God, thank you so much for calling us to be in your presence in this sanctuary. God, just bless our hearts as we are opening our hearts toward you. Speak to our hearts. We will obey your will. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to, open my sermon with this question. What is your most memorable prayer experience? What is your most memorable prayer experience? Let me share mine with you, okay? I served Glendale Korean United Methodist Church as a student pastor. The senior pastor at the church asked me to preach at a Wednesday church worship service. That was in May 1999. I just started my seminary education at that time. I didn't take sermon classes yet. It was my first sermon, and the pastor was bold enough to ask me to fill in the pulpit at that time. I was so nervous, and my heart was pounding uncontrollably when I heard his request. So I had to make several phone calls to people who could pray for me. The very first person was my mom. I knew she would pray for me. And she said, "Son, don't worry about anything. I will pray for you. And also, you pray to God." Later, I came to know that she started to fast right away until I finished my sermon. She fasted for 2 weeks. I'm indebted to my mom because she has been a wonderful intercessor for me, for my family, and also for my ministries. God's intention for our lives is very clear. It is our transformation, which means God is working on us right now. And God will continually transform us to be more like Jesus Christ. Do you feel the hands of God in your life? God's mighty hands that is transforming you? With the things you are experiencing in your life and also in your relationship with other people, God is using all those things to transform you. That is what God is doing right now in our lives. I know that my mom's prayer has transformed me throughout my ministries. This is because her prayers have been a means of grace from God to transform me. Do you have a person who can pray for you when you share your prayer concerns? Or have you been a channel of God's grace through your prayers to the people who are around you, including yourself, including your spouses, children, grandchildren, and friends? Let me quote John Wesley again on the means of grace from my last sermon. "By means of grace, I understand outward signs, words, and action, or actions ordained of God and appointed for this end, to be the ordinary channels whereby he might convey to man preventing, justifying, and sanctifying grace. The chief of these means are prayer, whether in secret or with the great congregation. Searching the scriptures, which implies reading, hearing, and meditating thereon, and receiving Lord's supper, eating bread and drinking wine in remembrance of him. And these we believe to be ordained of God as the ordinary channels of conveying his grace to the souls of men." John Wesley said, the chief of these means is prayer, whether in secret or a great congregation, with a great congregation. However, our prayer experiences have to be reviewed through the lens of God's word and have to be guided and interpreted by God's word. So prayer has to go together with God's words all the time. George Whitefield suggested to John Wesley that he should take his message outside the confines of traditional church buildings and preach it to people in public spaces, since thousands of people were crowding the churches to listen to John Wesley's sermons. However, as a faithful Anglican minister, John Wesley was not allowed to preach outside the church buildings. So he started to pray about it. And at the same time, he meditated on the scripture. And he found this: even Jesus Christ preached outside the buildings, the Sermon on the Mount. That was the reason why he made a decision to preach the outdoor preachings. While praying, he tried to be guided by God's word. That's why the word of God and our prayer, they have to go together. Apostle Paul was in prison in Rome when he wrote letters to Ephesians, to the Ephesians and the Philippians. He recorded his prayers there. We can learn from him about how we should pray even during challenges and difficulties. He never gave up on praying for God's churches. Let me share with you three lessons on prayer from his letters. First of all, our prayer has to be the kingdom prayer. Our prayer has to be the kingdom prayer. All the prayers we pray have to be the kingdom prayer. The Lord's Prayer is our model for the kingdom prayer. This morning, we prayed together the Lord's Prayer, and we said, "Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You remember that prayer, right? We pray that prayer together. So the kingdom prayer upholds God's will as the most important part of the prayer, God's will. In Gethsemane, Jesus prayed for God's will in his agony and frustration. You remember his prayer, right? "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink, your will be done." Jesus Christ was really honest in his prayer. He expressed his agony and pain in his prayer, but at the same time, he did not lose the sense of God's will in his prayer. So our prayer has to be the kingdom prayer, which means we have to pray for God's will. Even though we express our feelings of unhappiness, sometimes anger, but we do not lose our focus on God's will in our prayers. And also, the kingdom prayer is a Christ-centered prayer. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, "I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with the power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. Apostle Paul was praying about Jesus Christ's presence in the hearts of all the church members in the Ephesian church. So kingdom prayer is a prayer that we centered our prayer around Jesus Christ's love. Even though we share our innermost feelings of unhappiness, anxiety, and even grudges in our prayer, which we can see in the book of Psalms very often, we must remember that our honest prayers can invite our God to transform us so that we can participate in God's kingdom work together. Secondly, our prayer has to be centered around Christ's love. Can you see the pictures here? I took this picture on the street of Weckley. In a person's house, I could find the wall, I could find these signs. Praying for neighbors, Jesus is the healer. And our prayer has to be centered around Christ in love. Our prayers' depth, quality, and quantity are in proportion to the degree of our love for those we pray for. We pray because we love. We love because we pray. Prayer is a clear indication of our love for God and love for our neighbor. That's why we should pray that we have more knowledge of the love of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 through 19. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And our discernment comes from the centrality of Christ's love in our prayer. Many times we pray trying to discern God's will towards our life, right? But Bible clearly speaks to us about our prayer's centrality on Jesus Christ's love. By doing so, we can discern God's will toward our life. Let us read this scripture together. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what really matters. Last but not least, in our prayer, we must remember the final picture of our presence before God. I want to show the picture before this in a slide. This is a picture I took when I visited Asbury College. And it was a chapel time. Before they start the chapel worship service, the worship team and the preacher and professor, they got together. And they are preparing the worship time with the prayers. It was so nice to see all those young people giving their hearts to God as they are preparing for their worship time, with the prayer. In our prayer, we must remember the final picture of our presence before God. Let me repeat this for you again. In our prayer, we must remember the final picture of our presence before God. Philippians chapter 1, verse 10 through 11. So that in the day of Christ, you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. When Apostle Paul prayed and did his ministries and mission work, he never forgot the final stage of his life before God. He based his whole life and ministries firmly on the time he would stand before God's throne. He was anchored unwaveringly to the time of God's judgment, and everything he did stemmed from there. Because we were going to have time to explain to our God about the things we did in our lives. And Apostle Paul never forget about that. I'm going to stand before the throne of our God. So I have to be ready to give an explanation to our God the things I did when I was on the earth. And we have to remember Revelation, the final chapter of the Bible, chapter 22, verses 12 through 13. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. By focusing on the last picture of our life before God, we can have sustained hope for the future, even in the midst of challenging situations. Also, it helps us live ethically missional lives as we prepare ourselves for the day of Christ. Also, it helps us to strengthen the sense of community and fellowship as we understand the same destiny of our kingdom journey together toward Christ Jesus. Let me share with you a story from Billy Graham. Billy Graham wrote an article on effective prayer in the book The Power of Prayer. He quoted a story in Guidepost in July 1990. One mother told about a time when she clearly heard one of her daughters cry, "Mom, Mom," in the middle of the night. But her daughter was a married woman traveling halfway around the world with her husband. The mother picked up her Bible from the nightstand and went into the family room to pray. She had a real sense of urgency that her daughter needed help. So she prayed that God would show her what to do. And then she read Psalm 91 over and over again. A few weeks later, she received a letter from her daughter, and this is what had happened. The daughter was in Borneo, where she became very sick and feverish. Her husband could not find a good doctor, but after some time located one who took them into his home, where he and his housekeeper nursed the woman back to health. The letter ended, "Remember when I was a girl and I would call out, 'Mom,' and you would come rushing down the hall? That night in Borneo in Indonesia, in my fever, I called, 'Mom, Mom,' and then I could hear you rushing down the hall." Then Billy Graham closed his writing with these words, "God sometimes causes us pain so that we may pray for others. Bible teaching, church history, and Christian experience all confirm that prayer does work." Can you say amen to that? Amen. 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 After experiencing COVID, we have been able to see how God has wonderfully worked for our church. A lot of our church members have tried hard to rebuild our church together. More volunteers have been involved in various outreach ministries and missions. The revival of children's ministry, strengthened the community missions, and Sunday Friendship Lunch have been blessings to all of us. We want to rebuild our church's next generation ministries anew. What do we need to do? We need to pray more. We want to Midland First to be more mission-oriented. What do we need to do? We need to pray more intentionally. We want to have a strong, caring ministries because we have a lot of elder members at our church. Where should we start? We should start to pray together. Do you want to see new things happen? Then please pray for your church. As our prayer ministry team always emphasizes, pray patiently, actively, and in the deepest confidence of the love of God. Let me quote E.M. Bounds on prayer. He was a pastor in the Methodist Episcopal Church South in the 19th and 20th century. He has been well known worldwide because of his 9 books on prayer. What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but people whom the Holy Ghost can use, people of prayer, people mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through method, but through people. He does not come on machinery, but on people. He does not anoint plans, but people. People of prayer. You may have heard a lot of sermons on prayers. Also, I have done a lot of sermons on prayer at our church. As I was, you know, prepared for this sermon today, there is one hope in my heart. I hope and pray that my church members can start a new life of prayer so that we can be used by God to bring renewal of our church continually. Can you join that call? Would you please do that? If so, please say amen. 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 Let us pray together. Dear God, we know that our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, they are praying for us right now because we are your children. God, please help us to participate in your kingdom prayer and use our lives so that a lot of people in our lives can find your kingdom in us. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Please stand.
brothers and sisters, don't be afraid of anything. May God go with you wherever you go. May our Lord Jesus Christ continually show his goodness and mercy to you. May the Holy Spirit give you strength and power so that you can continually participate in God's kingdom prayer. Now, go in peace. Amen.